It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer
from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Your boy Dan Wiederer was on the radio last week with Speaks. Mm-hmm.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
I've said this before, playing quarterback in the NFL is a lot like marriage. It's not about being a hero all the time. It's about limiting your mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, make sure it's not a catastrophic one.
We want it to be a fast Friday and a fast focus Friday.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod. Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
This segment with Dan Wiederer is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4 Seasons.
Those of you watching on Twitch just saw Robbie Triano bringing Lawrence Holmes his tea, as this is the kind of servitude that the afternoon show is all about, Dan. This is what we're all about, is making the producers, you know.
I didn't make Robbie go get it. I just left it outside.
He made the tea. Robbie went to Asia and harvested the tea leaves.
I'm the tea guy.
Put it in a bag himself, boiled the water himself with a hot pot that he keeps there in the control room, and brought Lawrence's tea. How's your afternoon going, Dan?
Yeah, I think Grody is squeezing the honey into my tea a couple rooms over right now as we speak. So I should be getting the same type of service here real soon.
From Matt Eberflus's bees, as we've tied the room all the way together.
Now we've
well
brought
done,
the whole
well done.
Thank thing you, together.
Thanks very much.
This has been a week of reflection, and you did it in your column, Dan. A reflection on how we got here as a football city. What things did you learn on how the Bears and how the Panthers got here?
Man, Lawrence, I mean, it's such a loaded storyline, and obviously one that still needs to play out, particularly here at Halas Hall, as you figure out what direction this organization can go with the pieces they collected in that trade from March 10th, 2023. But you see the way the winds of fate can blow for you at times, and when you're able to capitalize on it like Ryan Poles did a year and a half ago, you've got a chance to make significant progress in your building efforts. Now, listen, Caleb Williams has still got to become Caleb Williams, and we can't remove CJ Stroud from this conversation either. Even though it's a Bears-Panthers conversation, CJ Stroud's performance for the rest of his career is something that this trade will be judged by to some extent, because the Bears did have the option of drafting him at number one overall in 2023 if they chose to go down that route. But when you stop and reflect on how the Panthers went all in on one player who didn't even get through the third start of his second season, and in turn supplied the Bears with the number one, a proven player in DJ Moore to start with, and then a bunch of picks that they've turned into proven starters or a really high-level punter, you've got the makings of something that could be really special for a long time.
It really is fascinating. And after the bye, when the Bears go to Washington and play against Jaden Daniels, you'll get a whole nother opportunity to, are we going to end up adding Jaden Daniels to CJ Stroud's name in terms of caveats to the entire conversation, right?
I mean, it's going to be part of the conversation. I think we've been living it in an extreme way through the month of September. I think that obviously you get the knee-jerk reaction to a few games, and people start trying to to cast final verdicts on a decision that's going to take 3-4 years to fully judge. But that's part of the equation here. That's the landscape that we live in covering the NFL, and you just got to figure out a way to navigate it. And I think they're doing so well here at Halas Hall right now as they bring Caleb along.
What is your opinion, zoomed out, Dan, of Caleb Williams' progress so far? You wrote so much about Justin's, the way that they were teaching Justin, what he was learning, what he was not. You wrote about the long-form plan that the Bears had to teach Caleb. Where are you on how it's going so far?
I think it's going well, not maybe as great as you would hope at this point. And there's some things that need to be ironed out, including the chemistry with DJ Moore, and then certainly the, I guess, rapport with your play caller, so that you're on the same page week by week by week, and understanding that you've got a say in how you put together a plan that's going to put you in place to succeed in each given matchup. What I've seen from Caleb in the first month of the season is a guy who clearly is seeing the game a little bit quicker every time he takes the field, and reacting to what he sees quicker in ways that have created production. And I know we talk a lot this week about the checkdowns that he was able to hit against the Rams, and that being a very good learning experience for a young quarterback, particularly with a team that is capable of winning in that way with that formula. You just want to make sure that it doesn't create extreme caution where he falls into a trap of only protecting the football and not using some of his gifts he has to create some of the explosive plays. Over time, you want to see those two things married together, but they very clearly here have prioritized the smart play of the quarterback early on in his career and understanding ball security first and foremost.
As someone who's around this every day and been around DJ Moore for over a season now, how would you describe what's happened with him, and how should a Bears fan that's looking at his body language and saying, man, is DJ happy because we want him to be happy? How would you describe what's going on?
So, Lawrence, Studs and I had a conversation about this on the podcast, because I'm not ready to just say this is a non-issue. I think it's a keep an eye on issue, and it's a keep an eye on issue for the rest of October and into November. And my belief is that you have to try to keep a pulse on how DJ is handling his frustrations, how he's managing his patience. And it's got to be in a way that is productive for him individually, that is productive for his young quarterback who he's trying to create the chemistry with, and it's productive for the offense as a whole. It's not easy. I mean, this is a proven receiver in this league who has been through so many changes at the quarterback position. He's been forced to play with so many different guys and so many different experiences where people have told him just hang with us and we'll get there. And then the next thing you know, they're rebooting with somebody else. I get it. I understand why DJ is a little bit impatient and a little bit frustrated, but in the near future here, he's got to make sure that doesn't become a negative force, that it remains a positive force in the interactions that he has with Caleb as they sort of try to get on the same page. It was very obviously one very high profile example from last week's game where they didn't connect on what should have been a 22-yard touchdown. And you zoom in on that to see, okay, well, this is a veteran receiver and a young quarterback who aren't seeing the game in unison right now. And they've got to get on that page soon, because it's the only way that this offense is going to get unlocked to its full potential.
With all due respect to DJ Moore's tremendous career and his ability to get yards with the likes of Kyle Allen and PJ Walker and Sam Darnold in Carolina and then Justin and all of that, when he says, I guess we'll do it the Caleb way, damn right you will. From my perspective, I mean, yes, you are a tremendous receiver, an incredible vet, and you just got paid and you deserved it, but make your new quarterback comfortable. Use your veteran savvy to adjust to him. Do you agree with that, Dan?
Mostly. Where I would disagree slightly is there are certain rules that you have as a receiver, and the play that I was just mentioning last week there, you know, DJ is given no choice but to take an inside release on the play because of the way the corner jumped outside immediately upon the snap. But the thing that most receivers are taught in that situation against that look with the cover two shell look that the Rams are giving them is to get the width. As soon as you get your inside release and get inside, take it back outside, so you create a little bit more of a window for the quarterback to throw it toward the sideline and take the safety out of play. They weren't on the same page on that, obviously. in order to do it the Caleb way, you got to understand what the Caleb way is. And they had a mistake there that where then Caleb went to him on the bench and said, well, this is how I would prefer to throw that. Okay, well, the next time I'm going to do that. But in meeting you there, you have to understand that I'm breaking habits of rules that I've been taught for 5 years in the league in two different organizations on what I normally do to react in the situation. So Speaks, I think the one thing for me is you just want to make sure that as this is being ironed out by the player, the two players in this situation, that the coaching staff has some say in it as well. And they're not just coddling everything to how Caleb wants it. If there are certain things that it's like, look, like in this situation, this is what the rules normally dictate. And so let's try to also give a little bit at certain times to your veterans as well, who have been doing things a certain way for a long time.
All right. Well, that's fair. And that sounds like one of the many things that requires a lot of communication,
yes,
a lot of talking and a good, healthy
and experience.
Yeah. And a good, healthy atmosphere. Do you think that atmosphere exists within the offensive coaching staff of all the kinds of communicating that needs to happen and the coaching, the leaders and the coaches, coaching the coach, like all of that needs to happen? Do you think we've got a good atmosphere for it at this point?
I don't know. I think that they successfully went through the troubleshooting process last week in a way that created a winning formula against the Rams. Well, now you've got to continue down that path, and you can't just veer off that road and fall back into the old traps of getting inconsistent offensively, not knowing what your identity is, getting too cute at times, not knowing the plays that are going to get you 1 yard. I want to see how Shane responds from the Rams win, and if he's able to do so as successfully as he did coming off the Colts loss. And so this will be a case study here, a good winnable game against a beaten up defense on Sunday against Carolina. And then obviously they'll go on the road to London and play the Jaguars. So let's take a look at these next two games against opponents that they should beat and see how they're able to handle it.
Plantar fasciitis is not fun, and it's really not fun in football cleats. It's terrible.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
That being said, how worried should a Bears fan be about Keenan Allen?
I've been concerned about this since this popped up in August. And the only way to get unconcerned about this is to see Keenan Allen have 200-yard games and not be on the practice report for a month and a half. You know, and on the plus side, he's not listed on the injury report here in Week 5. He wasn't limited in practice this week. He doesn't have a designation for the game. That's a positive development here. Now let's go turn that availability into production, and then let's turn that production into sustained production. And until you get that, you're constantly going to be a little bit fearful that, it flared up again. We got on the plane, we went to London, we practiced a couple times, and all of a sudden it's not feeling well again. I'm in my 30s. I'm not able to manage it as well as I might've been able to 5 years ago. So this is all a keep an eye on thing where again, the concern level can only be reduced through the actual on-field production that Keenan has. And to this point, through the first month of the season, there hasn't been a whole lot of that.
Matt Bowen said to us that the Panthers' offense has now risen to a level of competency.
Yeah.
With Andy Dalton being their quarterback. I do believe that that's accurate. I also think that there's still a ceiling. And yes, once defensive coaches get back to looking at Andy Dalton tape, they go, oh, yeah, he's Andy Dalton. We've got our plan ready to go. How can the Bears avoid being embarrassed by him this weekend?
So this is kind of how I've described it throughout the week is Andy's obviously reached a stage in this league where he's not going to beat himself. But I don't know that he's capable of beating you either, right? And so the Bears have more playmakers on the defensive side of the ball than Andy Dalton has in his huddle or Andy Dalton is himself, you know? And so this should be a game that the Bears are able to play on their terms. It's not going to be a four interception game. Andy's too smart to get tricked by disguised looks or make errant throws when he shouldn't. But you should be able to, again, play this game on your terms, and it's create some pressure. Start, if you can, by limiting their running game. Now, the running game since the switch at quarterback from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton has been really good in Carolina, and Chuba Hubbard's coming off back-to-back 100-yard outings, and the offensive line is playing with the type of identity that you'd like to see the Bears' offensive line get sooner rather than later. If you can sort of make them one-dimensional and then just turn Andy into a game manager and then hope your offense can really put some points on the board against a poor and injury-depleted Panthers defense, this should be a game that it should be a no-anxiety game, to be honest, guys. I mean, this should be a game that you win in convincing fashion, and you don't have that fourth-quarter sweat dripping down your brow because you're so fearful of how it could slip away.
Oh, no-anxiety game sounds good, man.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible. But, it's interesting. What are the issues for this Bears defense as it stands right now? We've spent so little time dissecting them. What do you think have been problems for this Bears defense?
Yeah, well, look, like they've dropped down into the bottom half of the league in stopping the run after being the league's best rush defense last year. And so you've got to figure out a way. You've faced a couple of really good backs the last couple of weeks in Jonathan Taylor and Kyren Williams. You just got to get that nasty edge up front of stopping the run and doing so in a way that again, puts teams into third and medium, third and long more often than not. I don't know. Like, the one thing that I've loved about this defense is the mentality they've had from the first day they got to training camp. And it really showed off Sunday against the Rams, where you had a lead in the fourth quarter. And not only did they go out on the field, they went out on the field with that closer mentality. It's like, play our intro music. Let us go out there. We don't know who's going to make the play yet, but we know someone's going to. And then when Torrey Taylor complements that with a couple of punts inside the 10-yard line, and then you give that defense a little added juice when they take the field, you just knew that they were gonna slam that door shut. Even though it was Matthew Stafford and a guy who's led a ton of magical fourth quarter comeback drives, the Bears defense took the field understanding that they were about to win the football game. And that mentality, to me, speaks, has been super impressive and something that you hope persists through the entire season.
I totally agree. This feels like a second half defense. They make adjustments as a coaching staff. Think Eberflus and Washington get more aggressive in the second half, sending blitzers from different spots. The whole secondary gets this swagger going of making plays. That bodes well if the offense can just be functional, frankly.
Wouldn't it be great? Because you do now. Listen, like, you've got a team now that can win games with its defense. You got a team now that can win games with its special teams. Now, the next two pieces of the puzzle are, can your quarterback win you football games late in the game when he's got the ball in his hands and he's got to produce a game winning score? And can your coaching staff do the things within the game management of a game to win you games as well? Whether that's, coming up with a play that works, a strategy that works, or just managing timeouts and knowing when to go for two and when to go for one, and just being very clean in that regard. Trending in the right direction. And I think we all agree that this schedule here up through the first part of November is really, really, really friendly. And it starts here again with a game against Carolina that I said there's no layups in the NFL, but this is about as lightly contested of a 10-foot jumper as you're going to find in the NFL. And then you go to you play Jacksonville in London, and you come back and you've got Washington, which would be an interesting game. And then Arizona and New England. Like, there's nothing on that stretch of the schedule that is imposing. And so now, build some momentum, create your relevance, and then get into November understanding that you can be a team that's very, very much alive in the playoff hunt.
You're a good person to ask this question because of how long you've covered the league and how much time you've spent in locker rooms. The NFLPA is proposing changes to locker room access and protocol. How do you feel about this?
We could do a whole segment on this, Lawrence, because I am in the minority amongst my media brethren in not feeling a lot of my own backlash to the suggestions. What I would say is this, that like the open locker room setting, I understand why it's uncomfortable for players. It's uncomfortable for media members at times, but the whole point of it is the access and the availability to speak with players and create relationships and be able to do your job in a way that's beneficial. And so if you were able to propose to me some solutions that would make that happen, which I think there are some very ready-made possibilities on how to do that, then I'm all for giving the players a little bit of say in this matter and saying, hey, let's do the interviews. Like where I'm sitting right now, a giant midway here at the PNC Center at Halas Hall. There's plenty of room here, which we do during training camp, to do interviews when we're not letting the locker room. It just requires the players to be available for them. And so what happens here is if you're not allowed in the locker room, then guys can just sneak away and hide. And it puts a lot of responsibility and a lot of weight on the team's PR staff to be able to, build that bridge, you know, and create those connections in a way that's pretty cumbersome. And it takes a lot of work to make sure that a player makes his way down from the locker room all the way here to the midway and does his obligated interviews with the media. But I think there's a way to get it done if all parties are sort of solution oriented and not combative in the way they come at things.
I'm with you on this. I there's a part of me that wishes that, and I think that we're at a place where it can physically be done. They should be following like the playoff championship models. And I know that the asking teams to do this every week is a little difficult, but I think it would make things more comfortable where you're going to say, okay, the media can request certain guys to come out and talk, but we're going to have some of the standards set up and we're going to have spaces for the guys to speak where you say, okay, you need to talk with Rome. Rome is going to be over here in the same amount of time we would have like open locker room, and he's going to be there. If you can set it up that way in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, you can do something on a smaller scale, I think, in the regular season.
It requires carving out time for it. And that's something that coaches in their controlling ways don't want to do. And over my time in the league, they've taken great liberties with the policy that says that the locker room's got to be open for 45 minutes. Well, locker room's supposed to be open for 45 minutes with guys available in it. There's a lot of days where the locker room's open for 45 minutes, but guys are only in there for 12, you know, and so you don't have a whole lot of opportunity to get what the entire structure of the open locker room is designed to do. You just have to designate a time that says, hey guys, like you don't have treatment during this time. You can't go in the players' lounge and play, you know, college football on the Xbox or whatever. I don't even know what the gaming system is now. Like this 45 minutes, like, you know, half of you are going to be available for the first 25, half of you are going to be available for the last 20. And you just have to understand that's part of your daily routine. But again, that puts a lot of responsibility on a lot of people inside the building to make that happen. Where the open locker room setting, the whole point of it is it's a little less formal and it allows, you know, guys to come and go as they wish and don't have to subscribe to that. But if you can make it happen the other way, sign me up. I'm all for it. I don't need to be in a locker room just to say that I'm inside a locker room.
I would miss the random bits of accidental nudity myself.
That's honestly what the players are fighting against.
I know it is.
And I can appreciate that.
Yeah, they're fighting against their privacy being violated.
Yes.
Like that. And I understand. How many offensive linemen butts do you need to get exposed? I do understand. But the way you guys are talking about sheds light on what needs to happen. A lot more activity from the PR staff, a set out plan, a level of cooperation from the players that just doesn't take advantage of new protocols. And that's asking a lot of humans to do some new things. Yeah. Well,
no, it's a heavier lift, Speaks. No doubt it's a heavier lift. And I would say this, that I don't think there's any way to get around an open locker room after a football game on a Sunday.
Agreed.
You know, I think that I think that's kind of non-negotiable because guys are, you know, getting showered, getting dressed and getting the hell out of the stadium as soon as humanly possible. And so I just don't know how you could manage that properly in a way where you'd still be able to get the same types of stuff that you need to get out of a post-game locker room.
Well, Weeds, we appreciate you shedding some light on this. Thanks so much for all the work that you do and good luck on managing the London trip after this game is all done.
Yeah, off we go. It's good to talk to you guys. I haven't talked to you guys in a while because of Cubs games and different schedules. It's good to hear you guys together. Good show so far, and thanks for having me on today.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. Does an excellent job over there of covering the Bears and the Take the North podcast, which you can hear on Odyssey platforms with our guy Studs being a big part of that. That's a good thing.
So last night, Lawrence, there's a sporting event and just a vibe that is very difficult to replicate, where every moment feels like incredibly high drama and high tension. I want to talk about it with you, and we'll play people some versions of highlights that I'm sure they haven't heard, which really will put it into focus. We'll do that next. Olin Krutz coming up at 4 o'clock right here on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.